All right, everything's not perfect. Everything's not rosy. Everything's not on the track that you hoped it would be on. And that's normal. It's spring football practice. Hey, it's a brand new Village Vice. See, Zach, I'm Brad. Alex Golish spoke yesterday after practice, and I thought it was good. I thought it was important that for the first time, he wasn't the glowing, happy, satisfied football coach. I don't know that Alex Golish is ever satisfied, and he sure wasn't with practice yesterday, Zach.
Yeah, talked about how energy was low and how they kind of had to battle through it, and he said it was good. It was an opportunity to coach through it, challenge those guys to push through it, because that's what's going to happen. It's kind of weird because they're all talking about like how low the energy was. And then he was talking about how it was good because it was an opportunity. So, I guess that goes back to him kind of seeing everything as an opportunity and thinking about everything that happens and how it impacts his program.
Relentless. There is no, like, he doesn't seem like a coach that's going to settle for let's make it an after teaching moment. Like, how was practice? Well, it was a struggle practice, but we're going to look at film and we're going to be better next time. There wasn't any of that because he referenced it in two different instances. You know, the energy at the start was not awesome, and he said that the players were told that in a nice way. What do you think that nice way consisted of, Zach? I love the way this guy I love the way that he talks.
Yeah,
I would guess of sarcasm.
Yeah, I would guess it was in a way that words that have not been spoken from an Auburn football coach in a long time.
That perhaps some paint was peeled off the walls just at the beginning of a fourth spring football practice.
Yeah.
Because that matters. That stuff matters.
Got a text from somebody who was there, and the text, I'm paraphrasing, but the text was, "This guy's intense. No Amazing Grace playing here. You like not afraid to say what he's thinking."
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different.
It matters. Like, everybody in the league has 4- and 5-star players. Everybody that you care about beating in the league has 4- and 5-star players. Everybody you care about beating in the conference has accomplished coaches. Everybody has facilities. Everybody has an NIL package. Everybody has a training room and a nutrition program. They all have that. So how do you make the play in the fourth quarter? It's because you brought the right attention to detail to a dang Tuesday practice in the spring. That stuff matters. And this coaching staff, for the first time like in a long time, is paying attention to stuff like the energy that's brought to a Tuesday practice in the spring.
Right, right. One thing that I did think was interesting, and I didn't talk to all the players, but, you know, Golish spends a decent amount of time. And then, of course, that drew questions where he was talking about it more in regards to, okay, the energy was low. We had to get through it. But then, like, somebody asked that question to Deshaun Womack, and he's like, "No, I bring the energy. The energy's always high. I love feeding off of the energy." Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's true. I don't know.
Golish kind of said the same thing about Womack, didn't he?
Talked about his leadership.
Yeah.
For sure. Which, it's not that I'm like shocked by it, but I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. The second instance that he mentioned, so that the whole telling the players that their energy wasn't awesome at the beginning in a nice way, that was the beginning of practice. He said, "I actually told our staff, I'm like, man, I'm waiting for a bomb to go off today. And today, right around period 7, a bomb went off, which was good. We needed it." Anybody who's been a part of a practice at any level has been in the practice when the bomb goes off.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it's coming. You can tell it's coming. Like, it's just not quite on the track. And you know, all right, coach, it's about to happen. here it comes. Everybody watching or listening can remember a practice or two or three that you were part of where this happened. I wish I had been there to see what it was like when the bomb went off.
I wish I could know what the guys that were here last year.
Yeah.
I wish I could know what was going through all their minds of, oh, this is a different coach.
Yeah.
Different expectations. We're not wasting a practice.
Yeah.
Here. I talked to a player after a practice last week, and he, paraphrasing, but he's like, man, when Golish can get extra reps in, we're doing it. We're going to be as efficient as possible. So, and when you're slouching, when the energy's low, all the reps you're doing, like whether you're doing it at 50% or 60% or 70%, you're wasting them.
Yeah.
You're wasting them. And that's not going to fly under this guy.
Nope. Margins for these games are too tight. I go back to this, and this may become my thing that I wear out over the spring and summer.
Wear it out.
Everybody's too evenly matched.
Wear it out.
Yeah. Too evenly matched athletically. The difference is in the details. And that's what has me excited about the staff. It's not because they put up a bunch of yards somewhere. They put up a bunch of yards somewhere because they pay attention to details. It's all in the details. And so when you're that athletically matched, little things matter. You go back to Auburn, Texas, the baseball series over the weekend, very evenly matched. The difference is one hit here or there. These SEC football games were as close, not just Auburn games and all the close games that Auburn played, but throughout the league. They're all a touchdown or less, seems like.
Yeah, I mean, think about all the heartbreaking losses we had over the last 2 years. If you do the little things right, I mean, even if half of those go the other way, I mean, imagine the situation that we're in right now.
Exactly. It's very
different. And a lot of it was self-inflicted stuff. It wasn't even things that the other team did. You just gave it to them.
Yeah.
So, we all kind of gave Hugh Freeze crap, and I think rightfully so for the whole close thing, but he was right. Like, Auburn was close, but there was no interest in doing the details to make it to where you're not close to where you're there.
Yeah, it was more of an indictment on that style and the preparation than it was a positive thing about how close they're getting. It was, well, you're close, which means there's some stuff we're not taking care of in our prep that we should or could spend time taking care of. And one of those is challenging the offense. And we're going to talk about that a little bit after we remind you about our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. That noise you've been ignoring, that warning light that you keep hoping just goes away. Yeah, that noise. That, or like a ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. Here you go. That's your sign to call Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. This will take 8 minutes. They'll perform a full digital inspection. They'll send you photos, videos of what they find. You never guess. They explain everything clearly. They let you decide how to move forward. No pressure, just clarity and honesty.
Real hospitality, real car care.
Seriously, straight up. If something doesn't feel right with your car,
full stop,
go to Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika and mention Village Vice. Mention the barn when you go,
please.
So a total 180. From what we heard last year about challenging the offense.
Yeah.
They got DJ Durkin in this defense throwing stuff at him, throwing difficult stuff at him in practice 4 of the spring. I like that. They get better that way. And the attitude is that's how we get better. That's the only way we're going to get better. You have to face adversity. You have to do stuff that's hard to get better at doing hard things. Playing offense in the SEC hard? Yep. Then you better practice doing hard things.
You don't think you should take it easy on to build the quarterback's confidence?
Look, I was all on board with the plan last year. I thought there were some benefits to doing it. I think there are more benefits to doing it this way. Many more benefits.
Very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
Another example of it's just a 180. Like, if you want reasons why it's different, like if you're a fan who goes, well, just another off season where, you know, we get excited and we're just, nope, this is not just another off season of the same stuff. It's another in a relentless wave of examples of why this is different.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you're saying, oh, it's, this is the same stuff that we've heard for the last few years, like, I was going to be dramatic, but like, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. And why you're wrong could be because of like, you just want to be stubborn or yeah. you like to be upset or, you know, it could just be ignorance, which is fine. But, and I'm not saying just because it's different, it's going to be great, but to say that it's the same is right. that is incorrect. Now, if you still think it's not going to work or it needs more time, like that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not pushing back on that at all, but to say that it's not different is wrong. It's just, it's factually incorrect. I loved his answer to the last question he was asked. Were you done there? Can I go somewhere else to another question?
Okay.
Are you good? Are you good?
Yeah,
good?
Go somewhere else.
Fine?
Go for it.
Fine.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Mike G asked him, hey, like Byram's elite. Who are some of these other elite players? And I was expecting him to say like one or two guys, if any at all. But he listed like half of the starters, which I thought was interesting. Cody Sigler, Chaz Nimrod, Cole Best, Joe Simmons, Elijah Melendez, Deshaun Womack, New Boy Fagans, and Eric Winters.
I love that so many of those guys come from the secondary.
Yeah.
I like Winters and New Boy being a couple of those guys.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, he talks more about Chaz than Koger or Singleton. I mean, that's 2 weeks of data for that now. So, and man, he can't answer a question without bringing up Elijah Melendez.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good thing for this defense.
I mean, he talks higher on Melendez than he does Xavier Atkins. I don't think it means anything, but he does talk higher about him than X. Now, is X already proven and he's expecting more out of him because of that? Possibly. Yeah. Great. Accountability. Goodness, who'd have thunk? But I think it's worth noting.
Yeah, if someone's excellent, you want to push them to be excellent. You don't want to push them to be very good if they're already very good. If they're already very good, you want to push them to be elite.
I think you're elite.
I think you're elite as well.
Okay.
And everybody watching and listening, I think you have the potential to be elite.
What'd you think of the P and the K conversation in the comments yesterday?
Oh, it was as expected.
I love that somebody worked at P and thanked you personally for shopping with them.
I think the P gets a very bad rap. I think there's a misconception about it. And I think that there's absolutely a smart, practical way to shop that you come out even better financially, like you spend less for stuff that you actually use.
Yeah.
So that's what I think about that. Yeah. What did you think about Alex Golish talking about the difference in stuff on a wall and kind of what your program is actually about?
A lot of people like clipping that and posting it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Or is it
what'd you expect? What'd you expect them to say?
They're clipping it because he cussed. We love it when football coaches cuss. For some reason, we're really like infatuated when a football coach curses.
Yeah.
Well,
he's gonna get hot mic'd big time, and Auburn fans are gonna like love it.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, what he said is right.
What do we expect him to say to that? I do like that it's followed him everywhere it's been. I would love for it to not change. I know under Freeze, and I think Harsin did this too, Gus might have done it, where there's like a different slogan every spring.
Yeah.
I'd like for this just to kind of be our thing. Be who you say you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't you know, changed the words throughout the facility all the time. I'd love for that, because he's talked about how it followed him, you know, at different places. That's kind of been his thing.
Yep.
So I'd love for that just culturally to be, you know, a part of Auburn football.
Fans in the 90s can remember Terry Bowden using a different slogan every year, and they put it on the pins that they would, you know, the game day pins.
Gotcha.
Like attitude, awesome, audacity, those kind of things. And I don't know. That was kind of a 90s thing. I don't feel like this is going to be that way.
Yeah, I also feel like there was, like, the pressure just to do it, to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think Golish feels that.
No, I tend to agree. Okay, that's football stuff. We've got a lot of, obviously, football all the time. We're going to have football discussion every day pretty much on the
show. I have another football thing.
You have another football thing. Okay, go for it.
So the players got done, and they were like, the guys that we were, you know, made available to us to talk to yesterday.
Yeah,
they were kind of waiting while Golish was finishing up. But they gave all the players like ice cream bars or whatever.
Okay.
And I've posted a few of the clips from Deshaun Womack.
Okay.
But he's got two ice cream bars, like, that he's doing the whole thing with his hands behind his back. And he's got two ice creams behind him the entire time. I think it's hilarious.
So he didn't want to, like, he didn't want to have the two ice creams in front of him while he's doing media? Could they not let him eat his ice cream before he did media?
I feel like he had plenty of time. I think everybody else ate there. So I don't know if he was doing something else in the meantime, but
yeah.
I thought that was funny. And I'm like, nobody's going to hold it for him?
Yeah. Like, put them down. Go get them when the media's done.
Oh, it was so funny. It was so funny. And they're like, oh, you got two.
Well, when you're called out for being elite and a leader on the team, that's you get two ice creams.
Yeah, two ice creams for you, Deshaun Womack.
Two scoops, two ice creams. Just double fist them. It'd be great.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're a leader on the team. By the way, how great do you feel about the fact that not only is Cole Best called out as one of the leaders, one of the elite players, Joseph Simmons was also in that group mentioned by Alex Golish. When your center and tackle, one of your two tackles, are called out for being elite and leaders, that's a really good early sign.
Yep. Obviously a big deal. Played, got a lot of snaps at left tackles, what I've been told, which is interesting. That's where I wanted him from the get-go. I'm assuming he's there because Stanton Ramil is out. I think Simmons will eventually be right tackle. That's the assumption. But I'd prefer Simmons at left tackle right now. I just think what we saw him do at JMU last year was pretty solid there at left tackle. But
wouldn't you think that if he continues to play really well and perform really well there, then when Ramil comes back, doesn't it make sense to keep him at?
Yeah, I think Ramil's a right tackle. But
yeah.
We'll see. I also, like, you never want to label a guy as injury prone, but, like, he's missed substantial amount of times with knee injuries for two seasons. Like,
yeah,
goodness gracious, can he be good when he's healthy? Yes. But, like, you got to ask yourself the question, like, how durable? And hopefully they're fluky, and I'm sure Auburn did their research and the physical aspect of it. So
and that's not even anti-Ramil, but pro-Simmons. Like, if the left tackle is your most important spot.
Yeah, like, who's most likely to play all 12 games? And I would say Joe Simmons is more likely to play all 12 games.
Then it seems to me that square peg, square hole is Simmons at left tackle.
Yeah, but I mean, if they feel like Ramil's that guy, I mean, Ramil played left tackle in, you know, arguably the best conference in college football, right? I mean, the Big Ten's cooking right now, especially at the top of the conference. So
that's right.
We'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. But yeah, when he was listing like elite guys and leaders, he said that Joe Simmons has been really intentional. That's one of his words, is intentional. And that's what you want out of your left tackle.
No, you're right.
Or right tackle, any offensive lineman. So there you go.
All right. Basketball tonight, last home game. Last chance to see Auburn at Neville Arena this year. Win or lose, last home game against Steve Alford and Nevada. Another chance to beat a coach that has won a lot of games. And to move on in one of the top two postseason tournaments in college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second best tournament for sure. Mm-hmm. One of the most historic in the history of the sport.
Stephen Pearl, a chance to build on his school record first year coaching victories.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Stephen Pearl fighting for that 20th win in his freshman season as head coach would be incredible.
Nevada
would
has,
be pause would be historic.
It would be historic.
Yeah.
Yes. They're making history. It's a chance to make history. Auburn has
How
never
many coaches
been,
make the Final Four in their first year.
Not many.
Not
many.
Many. Brad, I hope we lean into it. I hope we lean into it hard.
We got a chance. We got a chance to make history. Auburn has never been to the NIT semifinals. They got close. Oh, good Lord, they got close. That 2019 should have gone.
Who was it that missed both those free throws at the end of the game? Was it
Dwayne Reed?
Dwayne Reed. Yes.
We're not even in that spot without Dwayne Reed that year. He was an outstanding point guard.
Dude,
on that
I
team.
Loved that team. Tay yeah. Waller, Lucas Hargrove. Was Corvatni Barber on that team?
Yes, Vought was on that team. Quantez Robertson, Rasheem Barrett.
Rasheem Barrett, yes. Was Josh Wallace on that team, or was that before Josh Wallace?
I think that was before Josh Wallace.
Thought he might have been a backup that year, but okay.
That team should have made the – that team got
– Tay Waller is my favorite Auburn basketball player. Other than Janai Broome, then Tay. I love Tay Waller. I thought
Tay Waller is number two all time for you
as favorite. Yeah, 100%.
Okay,
100%.
Nothing against Tay Waller. Tay Waller to
it
me
sounds like there's a little bit against Tay Waller. I don't. I'm not appreciating the Tay Waller slander. Dude, I'm gonna be honest with you, Brad. Tay Waller would shine in today's game.
Oh my goodness, especially with this staff. And the way they let guys shoot and they scheme them open and they
bro, play.
Yes.
He played in Europe. He was like a pro over there for like a decade.
For sure.
Yeah.
I gotta look now at Tay Waller's college stats. So 62 games at Auburn, 13.5 points per game. He was a 38% 3-point shooter. His last year, he was a 41% 3-point shooter.
Dude, yeah, he was a baller.
Man.
He was a baller.
Yeah. Tay Waller. No, when they got him, like, look, this guy's a sharpshooter. He can hit it from anywhere. And he did. He was fun.
A core memory for me, and you pull up the exact number because it sounds like you got a stats there, but when we played Alabama at home that year in Beard Eves. It's when the traction started to get going where they actually started to win some games they weren't supposed to. And like there started to be a little bit of buy-in. It's the first time I've really seen basketball buy-in in my life. But he opened that game. I think he made like three or four straight threes.
Yeah.
And I just remember like losing my mind when that happened. And I'm like, I'm into this.
He scored 22 that game. He hit 6 of 8 from three.
Golly. Yeah.
So that team, that was the first year that I did producing and hosting with basketball.
Okay.
At the arena or at the Coliseum, because they were still in the Coliseum then.
Yeah, Beard Eve's team. Yep.
And I was like, we go, Dwayne Reed's going to the free throw line. We're going to win. We're going to, like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to pack for New York City.
I wonder we were down our hotel. One, right? Where it's like, okay, worst case, we're going overtime.
Right. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to need to pack a bag for New York City. I wonder if our hotel is going to be on Times Square. I wonder what we're going to do in the day off in between this and that and the other. I'm going to go see this. I've never been in New York City before at that point. And he missed the free throws.
That was crushing.
There have been some heartbreaking free throw misses in Auburn basketball history.
It's been some heartbreaking free throws made as well.
That's true. That's a good point.
Much more heartbreaking ones that have been made against us from the free throw
line. Yeah. Well, that came after some heartbreaking misses.
True.
That could have put it out of reach.
There's three specific ones that were all made in a row that shouldn't have ever been even attempted to begin with.
Correct. All right. Yeah. I'm not gonna start down that road.
Another thing about that team, we've already lost all of our listeners because we're talking about the 2009 Auburn basketball team, something like that.
08-09,
yeah. 08-09.
Yeah.
When we played Tennessee that year, Corvatney Barber, I think, went a perfect 8-for-8. Wow. And that was electric.
I know he got the tip in at the end to win it.
He did.
Oh, it's one of the great. That was voted one of the best games in Beard Eves Memorial Coliseum history.
That was awesome. That was so fun.
Beat Bruce Pearl in Tennessee. And that game started the winning streak because they had gone to Ole Miss the game before and just gotten run out of the place.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, this is not going well. Like, we may have a coaching change at the end of the year. And then they just rip off win after win after win. They only lost one game until they got to the SEC tournament.
And then they're like, win one more game. And it was against Florida, right? Yeah. They're like, beat Florida and you're in.
Yeah.
Beat Florida in Tampa. And they're like, okay, beat Tennessee and you're in. And then we just never were close.
You mean goalposts were changing even then? You were moving goalposts even 15, 16 years ago?
That's right. What an interesting conversation. Anytime I can talk Tay Waller, I'm down.
Sure. This is a Tay Waller podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. All right. Sweet. That it?
That's it. Done? Yep.
All right. I think that does it for today's show, Bradlaugh.
Thanks, everybody, for listening and watching. Please subscribe. And remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.